1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and a very welcome to Liveline. And Joe with RT.ie. I mentioned an hour ago in the promo on Ronan's programme if people were thinking of buying caravans or motorhomes in the UK. Did they have any hints or tips? And the reason I was doing that is because earlier this week we got a call from Phelim Drew. You all know Phelim, the actor and performer. He's currently playing a padre who's about to stray in Fair City, so to speak. But Phelim contacted us very worried that he had just lost a significant amount of money by thinking he was buying a caravan in the UK, and we needed more evidence before we could proceed to broadcast his company's name. But once I mentioned that the people have any hints or tips about buying in the UK, we've now had a number of calls about the same company. Phelim Drew. Phelim, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
You see, and thanks. You see, I was hoping all week that because the Fergus and Shan, who were working on this, at one stage we thought it might be legit, and at one stage we thought you might get your money back. So when we got more calls in today, and on foot of what the Shan and Fergus have been doing, I don't think you're going to get your money back, which is a terrible blow to you.
Yeah. I mean, it's I suppose where I am with it now is that subsequent to, you know, telling the guards about what happened, and I contacted the police in England, I've been in contact with a member of Europol, and I've been in contact with the bank, my bank, and also the bank that I lodged the money to, which is based in Germany. The website had been taken down, and a few days ago, just out of frustration, I suppose, I looked up the website again, and there it was,
back up again,
running.
Yeah,
and it looks really polished, Joe. It looks very professional, very legit, and it looks very attractive. And that's you know what people could be fooled by, and that's the reason I wanted to come on, not to sort of air my laundry in public, but really to tell people, because there are going to be a lot of people like us,
as we're discovering.
Yeah, I mean, like we're looking at, like, after all the restrictions, people are kind of, you know, you can't get a house for love nor money around the country. We've been caravanning we've been camping for years, and we love it.
Because
you don't have to tell the kids to stop running up and down the corridor, or, you know, to be quiet for other guests or any of that stuff, and they find friends really easily, and it's great crack. So this was a kind of an obvious next step for us, and you know, we're used to getting ripped off on this side of the water, Joe. So I was looking abroad for a bit of value, and this website, MJ Caravan Sales Limited,
in Tamworth, made it in look, Tamworth, yeah, in Staffordshire.
That's where the address
is.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so so the whole thing is really it's really toxic, you know, and I just want to tell people that if they are kind of tempted to buy a caravan or anything like that, to really think twice about handing over any money. I was on a high. I was thinking, oh, this is how we're going to enjoy our summer. We're going to get away multiple times with the kids. And I decided, you know, it looks really good. I had interactions back and forward through email, and it all looked really kosher, and it wasn't.
And what did you think you were buying, Phelim?
Well, I set out to buy a four-berth caravan. We're a family of six, and the older boys, we thought, well, we'll throw them out in a tent.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because they're getting to an age where they don't really want to be coming away with us that much anyway. And we just wanted something nice. And so it was €7,000, Joe. That's what... And I got a loan for that, it's left a sour taste in my mouth. And, you know, obviously I'm not going to stop there. I want to try and get the money back some way or other. It seems like, you know, if you went into a bookies or a bank with a shotgun and you stole $7,000, the guards would be onto you quick enough. But with this online kind of thing, it's just the wheels of justice seem to turn a lot slower, you know. And but, you know, we're supposed to be all kind of European and part of a network of care and justice, but it seems to, you know, I've drawn a bit of a blank when I've tried to kind of push things with this. I've sent emails now that haven't been returned. And
And that's one of the things we were doing during the week. When we were trying to establish, because there is the name this person is using is Mark Johnson, but he has stolen that name because the person he claims to be is legitimate. When we emailed them trying to ask questions, like you have, we didn't get a reply. But when one of the team emailed him saying, oh, we're interested in buying a specific caravan, he was back like Flint. He was back within minutes, saying, what are you interested in? So it's called MJ Caravans, they're based in Tamworth and Staffordshire. I'll come back in a few minutes, Phelan, because it's a pretty sophisticated scam now. And it took us a full week to find out, because they're working and they seem to have cloned legitimate companies. Where is Jerry? Jerry, good afternoon. Joe at RT.ie.
Good afternoon, Joe.
And how much did you lose, Jerry?
A bit similar to Phelan there, about 7,500.
Oh, good God. And when did you lose that?
Well, we lost that on March the 4th. I'll just start the story by saying last year we bought a caravan for the family here.
Yeah.
And we had a beautiful holiday down West Cork in Kerry. This year we decided we'd bring the grandchildren and our daughters, so we decided we'd buy another caravan.
Okay.
And in looking around like Phelan, the value seemed to have gone out of it here in Ireland. They're getting very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And of course we looked at UK sites and we ended up looking at the very same site as Phelan. We transferred money on the 4th of March after doing a bit of toing and froing.
Yeah.
Spoke to this gentleman called Mark Johnson.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah, we spoke. My wife spoke to him and I spoke to him.
Mm-hmm.
And very helpful. Couldn't be more helpful.
And what did you think you were buying, Jerry?
Well, we genuinely thought we were buying a nice caravan that we had all the information for, all the photographs and all the detail for it. And I checked out the company, by the way. I checked out the company registration with the company's office in the UK. They were a legitimate company, according to this.
We did the same,
Financial returns were up to date. Everything looked good. Now, that was my naive, maybe, on my part, to accept that as a sort of a bona fide check. But anyway, that was the checking I had done. And we sent our money over. We showed proof that the money had been transferred. We got a delivery date for the caravan. The delivery date came and went. No sign of any caravan. And then we got an email to say the truck had broken down on the road, they were replacing the truck, and then we got a new date, and on the new date we got an email to say that the driver had tested positive for COVID, so he couldn't come across to Ireland or he'd have to quarantine and blah blah blah. So then we finally got an email to say, we're very sorry, sir, but we cannot deliver your caravan to Ireland. Can we please have your IBAN number and we will refund you your money. So we did that. I checked with my bank to know if it was okay to give the IBAN.
Okay.
And they said yes, and give the same IBAN as you transferred the money from. So we did all that, and that's the last we heard from them. Now, as a follow-on process, like your people there, my daughter carried on a conversation with them through email as if she was buying a caravan.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So the difference in her situation, very same modus operandi, but the difference was they had gone from Open Bank of Santander, was where we sent the money in Spain. Now they were gone to N26 in Germany.
The German bank. Yeah.
But the very same modus operandi.
Did you contact the Gardaí?
We did. We contacted the Gardaí. We have a case open with the Gardaí in Cork, and we have a case open with the Action Fraud, which is part of Scotland Yard in the UK, like the fraud section there.
And Jerry, do you think they are specifically targeting the Irish market? COVID there was a caravan trade here, but no way as big as the one in the UK. So people will legitimately say you can't get caravan here if you're on a specific budget. So let's look at the UK, where you presume they're massive caravanning people. So I just wonder, is he or she specifically targeting Ireland and invoking COVID and throwing in good prices and saying I'll deliver?
I didn't specifically get the feeling they were targeting here, but once you made contact, they were just so helpful and so confident they could deliver. Yeah, we have a load going over every week to Ireland. It's no bother to deliver to your house and give us your postcode. Everything was just so easy to do.
And who spoke to this man, Mark Johnson, claiming to be the Mark Johnson of MJ Caravans, yes, base Moriah in Staffordshire, Tamworth, Staffordshire. Yeah. Who spoke to him, Gerry?
I spoke to him, and my wife spoke to him on a number. Okay, I think I spoke to him twice, and my wife would have spoken to him three or four times.
And I don't know much about, well, I know a little bit about Tamworth and the pigs. I don't know much about the accent.
I didn't know much about Tamworth.
Yeah.
I looked up the postcode on Google Maps. Yeah. And I saw a very nice, fancy, detached house. I didn't see any sign of a business at the address, but I wasn't alarmed by that because I said this could be just a registered office.
So what did Mark Johnson sound like? Was he convincing?
Oh, very convincing, very helpful. Now, I did sense myself that he had a slight, maybe Spanish accent. I didn't feel he was a genuine English guy or a real English guy, right? I thought he might have a bit of a Spanish accent when I spoke to him. That was the only observation I made about him. But in terms of being helpful, I thought he was very good and very impressive in terms of you getting the impression he was genuine.
We're talking about, thanks to Phelim Drew, who contacted us, even though, as I say, we had hoped at the beginning of the week when we started working on this that it might have been a legitimate company, because as you say, Gerry, they have a very sophisticated website and they are listed, a company of that name is listed.
That's right.
And a person of that name is listed legitimately. But it now looks like, looking at the slew of calls we now have, that this MJ Caravans, based in Tamworth in Staffordshire, do not, under any circumstances, give them money until we sort this out. Do not, under any circumstances.
Absolutely.
Michelle McGovern. Michelle, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
How did you come across MJ Caravans?
Well, we are looking to buy a camper van, which obviously is an awful lot more money even than a caravan. And we would obviously be having to take a big loan for that. So one Saturday morning we were looking and we came across MJ Caravans. Thought, oh gosh, these are great price, you know. Mm-hmm. And as you can tell by my accent, I'm English originally. The same thing we saw, it's registered in the UK, and that really made me think, oh, it's got to be legitimate, blah blah blah. So I actually tried to ring Mark Johnson, didn't get through, and my husband emailed him. My husband didn't say which camper van we were looking at, and he emailed him back saying, oh, camper van A, and we were saying we were looking at camper van C. And he started telling all about, and it was obviously a big copy and paste, so that was a bit strange. Why was he telling us all about this camper van when he has about 50 on his website? So we thought, oh, that's a bit strange. And then my husband actually put the postcode into Google Maps.
Yeah.
And on the Google Earth, and he could see it's just a housing estate. And he was saying, well, where are all these camper vans and caravans? If he's got all these, where are they all being kept? And the more we sort of looked at it, the more we started to, you know, alarm bells started to ring. So we were lucky that we didn't get caught.
Okay.
Another thing I noticed was...
Okay, Michelle, fortunately your line is deteriorating, but we're going to try and get a better one. The other thing I would say, Michelle, and this is back to when Phelim contacted us nearly a week ago and we started... But the address that they were giving to Phelim at one stage, when we Googled it, and Google Earth, which you do, there was a caravan outside the house. Like, they seem to be a lot more sophisticated just setting up... a dummy website. Joe@rt.ie. John Sinnott. John, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
How much did you lose?
About 24,500 sterling.
Oh, God.
Now, basically, it is exactly the same as your other callers. It's a very sophisticated site, and I did a bit of checking out, and the company was registered and so on and so forth and all the rest of it. The thing that the issue that I have at the moment, obviously, is we're trying to get it back from HK Caravans, but we...
MJ Caravans.
Oh, sorry, MJ Caravans, sorry. But we sent the money over to HSBC Bank. It was a bank account, right? They notified us after about 2 weeks saying that they thought this account might have been a little bit off.
Okay.
And do we want to continue on with the payment or do we want it back?
Yeah, okay.
And we said that we wanted it back.
Absolutely.
And the reason that I said that I wanted it back was that, like everybody else, they were going to deliver it. Very nicely spoken guy. They were going to deliver it. It was 812 sterling to get it delivered to Ireland, which I thought, fair enough, that's grand. And you give them the address and so on and so forth. And then the truck broke down, and then the driver got COVID. And after about two or three calls of when it was coming, then we got suspicious, so we said no. We would stop the payments going through. And my problem now is that I can't get HSBC to send the money back to Bank of Ireland so I can get it back here. So it's a different... It's the same thing, but apparently, HSBC were aware of it.
John, have you any record of HSBC saying to you, this looks, what you say, it's a bit off, which is funny.
Well, but the Bank of Ireland...
did you get an email or a text?
I got an email saying of what Bank of Ireland got. And they're trying to get through to HSBC. But apparently HSBC, because of COVID, they're working from home. And like, this is going on now about 6 weeks.
Okay, Mark. We're talking. I'll come back to you all in a sec because I just want to deal with the people who are coming in now. MJ Caravans, based in Tamworth in Staffordshire, very sophisticated operation on through their website, through company addresses and registrations and names. They are obviously cloning someone else's legitimate name, but they're using the name Mark Johnson, who, when we started looking at Mark as is, there's no impugning Mr. Mark Johnson, who is an individual, but the person who's selling these caravans is not Mark Johnson, even though he claims to be Martina. How did you come across MJ Caravans in Tamworth in Staffordshire?
Hi, Joe. How are you? We were looking at buying a camper van, and obviously the prices were outrageous over here, so we said we'd look a bit further afield. So my husband came across MJ Caravans, and we were both very interested, excited at the prices. But we looked further because it just seemed to be too cheap to be true.
Okay.
So fair enough. Anyhow, we got onto Facebook and we asked if anybody in the Tamworth area that'd be willing to check out the location.
Okay.
And we got three people back to us. So one lad came back and said that they were a company that were a partnership, and that one had branched off on his own with the camper vans and the other ones were doing caravans. So I had sent a few emails and was getting replies fairly promptly, inquired about two or three specific ones and got replies. And then he told us that he had an outlet in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And that, because that was in the European Union or whatever, that we would avoid the UK sterling rate charge.
He was thinking of everything. Just come back to the Facebook. The people who went around from Facebook came back to you and said it's a legitimate company.
They said they had a good reputation in the locality.
So who was talking to you on Facebook? I don't want names, obviously, but...
No, just a friend of a friend, we'll say. Now, I had gone further than that because somebody else came back to me and said, how did you get on with that? And I said, well, I didn't really get anywhere as such. And she had said her cousin would go drop by because she lived right there or worked in the town.
Thanks very much,
Tamworth. So, fair enough, I said, great, if you don't mind. So I sent her on the postal code and I've sent you the photograph of the location that she arrived at.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say the woman was probably afraid to get out of her car. It looked very derelict, very run down, not a neighbourhood I'd like to get out of my car out of either.
So who was telling you on Facebook that everything was okay?
I'd just say a friend of a friend who has worked in the area and just had driven by it. Didn't really know it, hadn't got into it, but asked a few people in the area. So anyhow, my friend, after she sent me the photograph, I emailed him and said, look, my cousin's after turning up at your address and this is what we got. So he replied to say that all the stock had been moved to Germany.
Of course, because of Brexit.
And that they wouldn't be doing any dealings until the end of July.
And that's why, Phelan, is that why they said to you were using N26, the German-based bank, which is now in Ireland, of course. By the way, Phelan, have you any hope? John Sinnott is pursuing this text he got from HSBC when he said, yes, do stop the payment. Have you any hope of getting it back from your Irish bank or from N26?
I received a notification from the Bank of Ireland saying that I'm liable for it. So not from Bank of Ireland. And I've also had a notification from N26 saying the same thing. Like, it's a bit more convoluted, but I mean, I spoke to a representative of Europol, which are based in the Netherlands, and he said, like, the banks will, you know, they'll jump through any kind, they'll use any law to stop paying the money back, as it were, you know. It's going to be a long road, I suspect, but just want to let people know.
Okay, that, and you are. You know, we're getting more people in. Stay there if you would, please. We're talking about MJ Caravans, based in Tamworth in Staffordshire. Very sophisticated website. Lots of Irish people interested, given the staycation world we're going to be living in, given the safety, even in terms of COVID, of having your own space where you're not mingling with other people. Caravans are in high demand, as are camper vans. People are saying they cannot be got for love or money. Well, for a lot of money here in Ireland. And the obvious place to look is across the water, get it over on the ferry. They have a big, big market, have for a long, many years over there in caravans. The first person that alerted us to this is Phelan Drew, who you all know from acting and performing and currently in Fair City. But playing a priest, God, you won't be given this fella absolution, Phelan, if we get our hands on him. He's after robbing you of over 7,000.
Bring his neck, Joe.
Okay. Stay with us back after this.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815. Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And Joe at RT.ie, we're talking about MJ Caravans. Michelle McGovern is back. Michelle, you reckon you spotted them early.
Yeah. The other thing I noticed, because I started doing a bit of detective work myself after, because I was, you know, do you remember the island boat? Well, the website looks nearly exactly the same, except caravans and camper vans. And the other thing I found out was that if you Google MJ caravan sales in the UK, the website doesn't come up, because obviously he's not trying to sell for people in the UK, because they wouldn't fall for it. They would want to go and physically look at the
So do you think he's targeting Ireland specifically? COVID, staycation, quarantine, the ferry's still working. I'll get it over to you, no problem.
Yeah. It might not be just Ireland, because another thing I came across was that, and I can't been able to find it since, but when I put the words in, it came up in France as being not a legitimate site. But personally now, I wouldn't buy anything unless I could physically go in, touch it, sit in it.
Yeah, but we can't. But the problem, Michelle, is we're living in a pandemic.
I know, but then I just wouldn't take the risk anymore.
I know.
See how easy it is.
I think this, wherever there's a group of them, maybe, I don't know. But I think that they're being extraordinarily cruel, but they're being extraordinarily smart. They are exploiting the fact that there's a pandemic on, that they know that people can't travel outside their country, that obviously the caravan, camper van market is exploding, as we discovered here. That because of COVID and travel, people can't actually come and inspect the caravan. So it's going to be done online. Three, as our man, I think it was with Jerry or one of the lads earlier, saying, you know, the mobile is the truck is broken down, there's a bit of delay, bear with us. In other words, stay away from your bank. Don't be going near your bank. The money has come through and they're sending you all these. And then the second thing he sent was, oh, the drivers after getting COVID, if he goes to Ireland, it'll have to be a 2-week quarantine. You see, it's a sophisticated scam.
Oh,
and now we're getting calls failing from other people who've been had, they say, by this company, but they're mortified. They are embarrassed that they feel they got done easily, but it's a very sophisticated
very
scam.
Easy.
Yeah,
you get me. Another thing that my husband picked up on was that he was getting emails from companies in Germany, mm-hmm. and he was talking to one chap backwards and forwards, and he got him down on a price for one. But then he was thinking that when we could travel, he would go over and buy it. But when he asked to see a picture of the logbook, the call stopped.
Okay.
Now, a caravan doesn't have a logbook, but a camper van would have a logbook. So obviously there was no logbook.
Maybe Phelan can answer this, or Jerry, or you, Michelle. If I legitimately, well, everyone thought they were legitimate, if I buy a caravan in the UK, not a camper van, now that's a motorised vehicle, but if I buy a caravan, am I liable for VRT or extra?
Only if it's a camper van.
Ah.
But that's what we were looking
at. So the English market is quite attractive.
Yeah. If you bring in a caravan and there's no VRT, it's not motorised.
Yeah, okay. Whereas if you bring in a camper van, they're expensive anyway. But if you bring in a camper van, you have to pay VRT, I presume.
Yeah. But MJ, caravan sales doesn't seem to know anything about VRT. He does say that he'll save you the VAT if you've got a VAT number.
Yeah, I saw that.
What
did you think? Like, the English in the emails is fairly okay, even though I think it was John earlier on saying when they spoke to Mark Johnson, no, Jerry spoke to Mark Johnson, he had an English name and spoke very good English, but had every now and again maybe a Spanish accent. But did you spot anything in the emails?
He's not English, you can tell, because I've been talking to him again since by a different email address, just when I knew I had been talking to Sean, your researcher. But the questions I ask him, he doesn't answer. He just comes back with standard answers. Does that make sense? So I was asking that because he had another.
Okay, you can. A sec, Phelan. I just want to give out our UK number, because now we're getting contacts from people in the UK, even though the site isn't available. It's very smart again. The site is not available in the UK, because this guy knew in the UK people could travel to see what he was selling. If you're phoning from the UK, it's 3531. One for Dublin, 208-2980, 3531, 208-2980, or you can email us immediately at joe@rt.ie and just put caravan into the subject box, and we'll try and get back to you fairly quickly. Sorry, Phelan, you wanted to come in there?
No, just just on that subject about the guy's accent, I spoke to a man who said he was Mark Johnson.
Okay.
And, you know, Britain is so multicultural now.
Yeah,
so,
true.
You know,
yeah.
It's hard to say, like, who sounds English and who doesn't sound English.
Very good point.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you don't want to jump to conclusions when you're talking to somebody and assume that they're not who they say
that's a very good point, just because of
their accent. And that is something that I suppose, if you are trusting and if you are doing something with goodwill, you're not necessarily jumping to those conclusions.
Yeah, very good point. Valerie, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
Come over nearer the phone, Valerie, or turn off the speaker.
I've never been on the radio, Joe, before, but I'm so tempted.
But you have been on the phone before.
Of course I've been
Then it's the same thing.
I mean on the radio.
Yeah, you're fine. You're absolutely fine. Because you have two of your sons.
I have two sons who live just outside Birmingham. They live in a place called Sutton Coalfield.
Oh, yeah.
And it's about 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes in the car to Tamworth.
Okay.
I know Tamworth quite well, so I know the area just from the sat-nav on my car when I drive over on the ferry.
Okay.
And caravans are big business over there.
Yeah.
Every second person has a caravan.
I know.
And you have to store them in somewhere that's really safe, because they're pinched as well.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Now, I look at Gloria Honeyford and
Watchdog or whatever.
Program Rip Off Britain and stuff like that. And I look at a lot of English programmes first thing in the morning and I hear a lot of this stuff. And if it sounds cheap, it's too good to be true.
But you see, I think the other thing he was banking on is that, it was Fadham's earlier point, look, caravans and camper vans especially are very expensive here.
Yeah,
and you do feel, well, they're just the way, same way people go to the UK to buy cars, that you get a better deal. Okay, and you just done that, did you? Okay, but you think caravan scams are to a penny over there, are they?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, what are your two lads are in town?
My two sons live just outside Birmingham, and they're both in the car business.
Oh, are they okay?
Yeah, they're there years, and they still have their Irish accent.
And how did they end up in near Tamworth? Both of them.
It's just a nice area.
Yeah, great.
Sutton Coldfield is a very nice area, and all around the areas. But they go camping themselves. Wow. You see, they both have, one has a camper van, the other one has a mobile home, and they go camping together. And
they have,
all
that means they have,
are open out on from this week over there.
Oh, wow.
You know, gone off obviously, but
and they have children if they're gone. They're gone camping.
Who parks up his mobile home in a certain place that one or two of them being pinched?
Oh yeah, okay.
Robbed, in other words.
Okay, and when is the last time you've seen them?
A year and 5 months.
Well, for God's sake, grandchildren?
Yes, three actually, Joe. Yeah, three over there. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I do miss them, but I miss my sons as well, but nothing you can do about that. But they get on great together and they go camping to mobile homing together.
Okay, well, thanks for that.
They can walk and canoe and all that sort of stuff, and the kids love it.
I know.
The mobile. Love it,
myself
like
for years and
well known over there, Joe. I know from my sons, they're typical Irish. Typical Dublin Jackians. I mean, they know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay, there's quite a few people now being stung, especially in the.
They have. I was listening to a program. I'm not sure which one it was, Joe, about this elderly couple who bought a caravan. I think it was on Watchdog, if I'm not mistaken. And it was all about this couple who bought a mobile home, as they thought, and it was getting delivered, and it was getting delivered, and it never happened.
Yeah.
And they kept ringing, but they lost all their money.
You see, they've really ramped up their business because of COVID and people not being able to visit, to look, to inspect, people accepting delays because when the driver got COVID, all... perfectly. Two years ago, they would have been the weirdest excuses in the world, but now they're just part of our vernacular. Okay, Valerie, I hope you get to see your lads and indeed your grandchildren again soon.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks indeed, Valerie. Gerry Doherty is in Donegal. Gerry, it's a well-known company, Doherty in Letterkenny Motorhomes.
That's right, Joe. Yes, hello.
Good, Gerry. How are you?
I'm good.
Have you heard of MJ Caravans and Tamworth?
I can tell you the story. I'm not mentioning names on that, but it was about MJ as well. But I had a person phone me looking about a motorhome.
Okay.
And we had a similar vehicle in the yard here, and it was a 2010. I'm not going to make a model, but our model was priced around the 55,000, which is about a rate for a 2010 motorhome, depending on the quality. But this person was looking at the same van at that same place, same model. And it was on something like £17,000 sterling. Now, when you do your maths and you change over your money and all that, that came on about 23.5 between VRT. Now, this is before Brexit, before this extra VAT. So that came on about 20. She says, but yours is so much. I says, listen, ours is not expensive. That one there, I'm telling you now to stay. And this conversation lasted for nearly an hour with this person.
Okay.
To the extent at the end of the hour, I says, listen, I have tried to help you as best I can. I'm advising you and I'm pleading with you.
Okay.
Do not give them any money. Mm. But this is too, and she, this person kept going, but it's too good to me. I says, listen, I've tried to help you. I says, well, leave it at that. And I left at that. And about maybe 3 weeks later, the person phoned back in a whole state And she told, person told me their name, sorry. And I says, right, how can I help? Oh, I give that company 7,000 euros. About 7,000 euros. And I says, but I pleaded with you not to. So the van was so... And I says, look, I'm sorry, what can I do to help you? And the reason, Joe, I'm only on here to say to people, there's no such thing as a free dinner. You know, when you look at prices of vans in Ireland, the vans may seem expensive, but that includes VRT, it includes the servicing, it includes
and
all
that's,
that.
Yeah, but Jerry, that's why, because all of us have heard the stories of people getting cars in the UK and the difference and the significant difference in prices. That's why I think it was 1 year recently, the sale of imports from the UK exceeded the sale of second-hand cars or new cars or whatever.
Yeah.
So somebody here, when they see motorhome, they think, well, VRT car. Like, I'm looking at a few and done deal, 70 grand for a 216 Swift.
Yeah.
70 grand for a 216. What type of chassis? I think it's an Iveco chassis.
Right.
Yeah, a roller team line. Yeah. They are expensive.
Joe, they're they always were in Ireland because of the VRT. Nobody would ever deny that. But if you would look at a normal dealership in England, you know, a normal dealership, and look at the vans there and do all your homework, you'll see. When you bring them onto the country, they're not. When it doesn't work out any cheaper, it might work out 1,000 cheaper.
Well, how much greater is the VRT here on camper vans?
A camper van on a camper van VRT is 13.5%. But you cannot. The problem with VRT on the campers in this country is every van is priced on an individual basis. So, say a boy buys a van in England. He will not get a price for VRT until he presents it at the VRT office, right? Now, I can give you examples of vans that we have taken the VRT off, and two exact same vans, same specifications, same years and all, and they've come back with two different prices. That's how crazy VRT is, but that's another story, Joe.
But say it's 2000 and... I'll try and get the name of one here. 2016 Swift Escape.
Should be around about, I would say, depending on the specification and all that and the mileage, 2016 should be around in euros in the country with VRT and all paid around about the 55,000 to 60,000.
No, this one's a bit dear. It's 60.
Now,
It only, according to this, it says it only has 2,400 miles on it. But if I was to buy that one second-hand in the UK, forget about VRT for a sec.
Yeah.
What would I see it priced on a UK site?
Well, at the minute now, it's simply because of COVID, everybody has gone mad for motorhomes. We're sold out nearly, although we still have plenty coming in. But that van there in England, probably at the minute, round about 42, 43 sterling.
You see, that's a big difference.
But you take your money exchange, Joe.
Oh, I know that. I know when everything...
On a second-hand van coming on from UK now, there's another 21% VAT on it.
Oh, is there? Good
realistically, we have new vans here now that's cheaper than 2 or 3 year-old vans coming out of England. that's how crazy the whole...
But that's because of Brexit and the lunacy.
Yes. But I'm only on to say, people, please.
Okay.
There's no such thing as a free dinner.
Jerry, where do you source your vans?
Well, we're main dealers for a few. Detlefsheimer, and we direct straight with the factory.
Where's the big manufacturer of
Germany? Germany would be our main ones.
The Heimer ones?
Yes, the Heimer and the Detlefs.
Does all the conversions? You know, the Renault Swifts on the different chassis.
Swifts are built by an English company. We do Compass here, which were built by an English company. That's Eldis and Compass. They're built the chassis cab, the Fiat chassis cab with the Peugeot arrives at the factory, and then the body's built on it.
Anyone doing it here? Anyone building them here?
No. The market's not big enough in Ireland, Joe, for a factory set up. You know, there's a lot of individual boys doing wee van conversions, and you buy a Fiat Ducato van, you hand it over to them, give them your design, and they do that. You know, Joe, the main thing I'm not on here trying to push sales. I just want people to
say you're out the door. Okay, Jerry, thanks indeed, and look after yourself. I'll be back. We're talking about MJ Caravans, Tamworth. Staffordshire, near Birmingham in the UK. Very sophisticated website. We now discovered it's not available in the UK. It's available to the Irish market, and exploiting the whole thing about COVID, lockdown, staycations, safety of caravans and every angle, including COVID. And with a lot of people are being stung, including our first caller here, Phelim Drew, the actor. Back after this, Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And we are talking about a company that seems to be have managed to take a lot of money off a lot of Irish people in the relatively recent past. They're called MJ Caravans. They're based in Tamworth, Moriah, like in Staffordshire. And they're exploiting the current situation from so many angles. It's a very, very smart scam. They're realising Irish people never been massively big in caravans and never been massively big in motorhomes, but unlike the UK, but that's going to change because of COVID and because of staycations and because of the price of hotels and because of the unavailability of holiday homes or whatever. What better way to explore your island, the island here, than hitch up a caravan and off you go. And there's more and more sites around the country opening up. Brendan is in Longford. Brendan, what happened?
Hi, Joe. Like everybody else, Joe, I was over the last couple of weeks, we were contemplating on buying a caravan or buying a motorhome. Mm-hmm. And we've done a bit of research, had a look around. I was looking on the websites there, and this company came up, and it was looked like a great deal, a good selection. Prices were really good, and I was very close to sending over the money. But I made a few inquiries myself. A friend of mine that has been in the camper, has been camping for years, made a few inquiries over the UK, and he came back to me and said, "Brendan, don't go there." He said, "It's bogey."
Yeah. So, and remember the other caller as well earlier on, Valerie, wasn't it? Not Valerie. Was it Martina, I think? No, it was Michelle, in fairness. She said she got someone in the UK to try and get into to look up the website, and they came back and said, "You can't access that website from the UK." So that raised the odour of a rodent fairly quickly. So you managed to.
I had made inquiries on email, and I had got replies back, and I got all the spiel about it was 800 and something sterling to deliver the caravan or the motorhome to Ireland. And but when I tried to ring the number, I wasn't getting through. So I haven't made the inquiries, and my friend came back lucky enough, and he just said to me, "No, just stay away from that." He said, "It's a no no go." He said, but I ended up. I've since got a caravan from the north.
Have you? Okay. Tell us.
Very happy.
Yeah.
I got it. I only seen it online. I was through a reputable company, and. I got it delivered down to Dublin and picked it up, and it's sitting outside. And I'm just waiting to go, Joe. My first time camping. I don't know what it's going to be like now.
That'll be brilliant. It'll be brilliant.
So, nice caravan. Very happy with it.
That's good. Okay, make sure you have to have it well clamped and locked and.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm sleeping out in the garden watching it at night, Joe.
Okay. Well, remember, I know it's an awful tragic angle. But I remember during the height of COVID, when it was becoming so infectious, that some of the household were living in a caravan in the driveway, if you're lucky enough to have a driveway and a caravan, and others were isolating in the house. But anyway, well spotted, Brendan, in Longford. Frank Mullen, Frank, you were nearly got as well.
Yeah, Joe, I did the very same as Brendan there, but I never actually followed through on the transaction because I was worried that I couldn't find a landline that would give me a number to ring them. I did a number of things in research, Joe. I went on Google to see could I find the actual location in Tamworth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, you do with a street view and you go up and down the street and there's no way I could find something.
Yeah.
So to make a long story short, I eventually rang a local caravan company and asked them had they dealt with them. And after several calls, because they can't give specific information, they told me they had never heard of them. But my concern, Joe, is the people that paid the money, that lost money, let's say, if they did a credit transfer, it's kind of sort of lost. But a credit transfer, no matter where the bank is, went into a bank where somebody opened an account. And for those people, even if it's not genuine or it's bogey, they still had to present a certain amount of information, and the only way you can access that is by registering a complaint with the local police force.
Yeah, well, Phelan Drew did that. He went around to Kevin Street in Dublin.
Yeah, but he would have to do it in the UK, we say, in Tamworth, with the local police force there, because the address given for the site is there. It happened to me about two years ago.
Even though your man has nothing to do with Tamworth, probably never been in Tamworth in his life.
Oh, yeah, but you're going by where they've, we say, given their address and the location. Like, you have to register it somewhere, but unless the Irish Guards, the Garda Síochána, are going to actually pursue it through the UK police force, like on an international basis, and I think there's an awful lot more to be doing these days, you really need to go locally to do it. It happened to me a couple of years ago with an apartment in Spain, and in my last trip to Spain about a year and a half ago, I went to the local police and registered a complaint. And in fairness, they're still pursuing it because I get some details from them about where they are, you know. But they are the only people that are allowed to access. I tried to reverse a card transaction through the bank, and it was turned down from the TSB. That's quite normal. But if you did it with a credit card, you'd be okay. But a credit transfer is a very, very dangerous thing to do to anybody, you know. It's just to put people on. Never transfer by a credit transfer, either a credit card or a draft. That's the only way you can get your money back, you know.
Yeah, but again, I'm reading the emails this guy was sending to different people. Like, he had it all. He had every angle, every road you were going to head down to try and beat him. He turned it into a cul-de-sac. He said, you know, the minute your money comes in, the truck will leave our place. We've moved our stock to our warehouse in Germany because of Brexit. We've a logistics division. We can offer you delivery services at reasonable rates. And we will bill only for fuel. But anyway, well spotted, yes. Frank. John in Donegal, how did you come across MJ Caravan Sales from Tamworth in Staffordshire?
Yeah, hi, Joel. I was actually, like everybody else that seems to be on your programme, I was just Googling and researching campervan. And suddenly this popped up. So they obviously are paying for sort of a pop-up once people are Googling.
Yeah, good point.
And I couldn't believe, like everything else, I couldn't believe the actual prices that they were quoting, you know. Now, I just emailed them to say, listen, tell me a little bit about your service. Now, they did, and this is the, you know, for anybody listening, this is the piece where they capture you. They do tell you there's VAT of 20%, and they talk to you about how they've moved to Germany because of Brexit, and they're doing the best. And then they tell you a little bit about the camper van, that it has a full habitation service and full mechanical service, and that there's their own logistics department, and offer deliveries at good prices. I think you say that there. But it also said the motorhome will be loaded on a truck, and we provide full guarantee.
And insurance until point of delivery, isn't that right?
Yes. Yeah. And they also provide a 12-month international warranty. And because I'm a first-time user, they'll only bill me for the fuel and ferry.
Okay.
So straight away, I think my fellow Donegal chap from Donaghy Motors said, you know, it's too good to be true. So
Jerry,
red flags showed up, So I just warn everybody, I think.
And you see, what prompted Phelan to try and do something about this, as he said, I think, like a lot of people, nobody wants to be stung, and then nobody wants to tell their mates or the public that they've been stung. But what annoyed Phelan is he saw them, their website was down for a few days, and then they were back up again, ready to go again this week and scam more people. Like, have you looked at the website? Like, the caravan that you were going to buy, is it still on their website?
No, I haven't looked since because I just left it, to be honest with you, Joe.
Yeah.
But what I would say is that the website is very legitimate.
Yeah, of course.
The links are appropriate. Well, obviously, anybody can, you know, make up a website. However, I think the most important part of this is that they entice you very subtly with their email, trying to sort of portray that they're a company that have international warranties, you know what I mean? That they're doing us a favour because they've moved logistically to Germany, you know?
And they're dovetailing into all the different channels that are going coursing through our lives at the minute, from COVID to Brexit to VAT to staycation. It's incredible.
I think it's really a perfect way of, you know, for those who don't identify with red flags to actually pursue that and as you say, send on money. So if it's too good, I think
it doesn't. I'm not being real. I know what you're going to say. If it sounds too good to be true, it is too good to be true. But you see, we have been immunised, wrong word, against that because of the price of second-hand cars from the UK. What that have been brought in over the last decade, they are significantly cheaper than the same cars here. Now, I know you have to pay VRT, but that's why people were bringing in cars and people were discovering that they were significantly cheaper because of government taxes. OK, John, thanks indeed and well spotted. Phelan, the other thing I'd say to you is since you started talking just under an hour ago, the website is gone. Their website is gone again. So that was one of your reasons. You didn't want more. You wanted to stop people being scammed, which is very noble of you and appreciated because you've lost over seven and a half thousand, which you have to borrow. But Fadum, is there no way? It was a point raised by someone else through your own bank and through N26, who were the two financial institutions. Now they did nothing wrong, but is there no way your money is anyway indemnified or?
I'm hoping that the bank that received the money will honour the fact that you know that whoever has set up the account with them has been defrauding them or you know not giving them the right information. But I mean the thing about it is, Joe, like, you know, this is a first world problem. I'm not looking for pity or anything like that.
I certainly
don't want people coming up to me in the street saying, oh my God, that's terrible. But the thing about it is, Joe, in the words of Billy Connolly, you know, it's not the principle, it's the money. I want to get the money back. But, and if you tell Jerry from Donaghy's there, if he wants to come up to my house, I'll give him a free dinner anytime. Thanks very much for having me on, Joe.
And Phelan, by the way, I know you don't want people coming up to you saying, I'm so sorry that happened to you. Has the kiss happened yet on Fair City?
Do you know what, Joe? I'm in it, so I know what happens. I haven't been keeping up with it, but I did have a ball on it, you know?
It hasn't happened because it was in the papers this week. But the question then is, how did Phelan do playing a priest? Not why did you kiss a parishioner, so to speak, but who was the parishioner you kissed in the scenario? Now, I know the answer, you know the answer, but the point is when people tune into it, I think it's on tomorrow, what day is today? Sunday night. You're not to ring Liveline on Monday minute because we won't be here, but you're not to ring Liveline on Monday saying, Phelan Drew, there's 2 points, one the priest kissing the parishioner, and then the other one the people spot. Well, hang on, how was he allowed to kiss somebody in the world of COVID? They got around that completely and totally legitimately. Isn't that right, Phelan?
Absolutely, Joe. Yes. Yeah.
No, okay.
All body doubles and everything.
Yeah, great. And Sue was brilliant, apparently. Brilliant. Brilliant. Okay. Phelan, I'm sorry. One that you lost so much money that you say you had to borrow. And as I said to actors who've been on here recently, you've had a horrific year in terms of income, And I know you're not going on about it. I'm going on about that for the whole acting community. So the last thing you need at this stage is to lose over seven grand that you borrowed. But anyway, I think you've saved people some money this afternoon, Phelan, who were looking at this very, very so-called legitimate exercise. Phelan Drew, thanks indeed.
Cheers, and
safe,
thank you very much.
And safe travelling. And I really appreciate that you the kissy-kissy happened last Sunday, by the way. And it was, can we tell them who it was that you kissed, Phelan?
Oh, Carol.
Yeah, but who was it in real life?
Oh, I kissed the back of my hand, Joe.
You did not. You get. You gurrier. You wore the face off your wife and in Fair City. That's how they did it. It was a brilliant idea. Okay, Phelan, continued success in that sense. But thanks for alerting us to that awful scam in these times where they spotted it. They knew the world as was going, especially in Ireland, and they've got a lot of money off a lot of people. Joe with RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Now, Mick McGarr. Mick, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
It was a horse box.
Yes, it was a truck horse box as opposed to car and trailer.
Yeah, when, where?
It was Wednesday morning between 10 and half 10. On the carriageway at Ratcool, about 100 yards south of the Ratcool Newcastle overpass.
Okay, so it's Wednesday morning of this week, 2 days ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
Between 10 and half 10.
Okay, good stuff. And then what happened?
Well, I was driving along, I was in my middle lane, and I just had overtaken this horse box. Mm. And just when I got past him, I felt my car moving, getting pushed from the rear, kind of. And it swung a little bit to the left. And I looked in the mirror, and here I saw the nose of the horse box as after passing. It was out in my lane. So he actually clipped the back of the wing on the back, the wheel arch, you know, over the wheel arch and the bumper.
Yeah.
Pushed me sideways. So I got a bit of a shock, I tell you. And I just managed to get in front of him. And I flashed the lights and I signaled at him. I had my hand out the window with the tone of just pull in. He declined to do so. He indicated that he was overtaken, and then he tried to get on my left side. I tried to slow him down, you know.
Okay.
I was actually livid at the moment, at that particular moment, because, you know, he was no intentions of stopping. So I was at that the whole way down to the Red Cow roundabout.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was actually... My journey, I was heading northwards, but I let him get in front of me before the Red Cow roundabout just to see which direction he was taking. So he indicated at the roundabout, like there's two slip lanes when you get into that roundabout for heading northwards, and then you have two for going southwards.
Mm-hmm.
So he indicated that he was going northwards. He has the left-hand indicator. Moved into the outer lane of the two lanes for the north, if you understand.
Mm.
And at the last minute, he indicated that the right and pulled, went southwards.
Wow.
So I was ready for this. I was back just far enough. So there was no traffic coming, so I was able to do the same thing. So I was heading southwards then on the N50, got in front of him, tried to flag him down, did everything in my power trying to stop him, wouldn't stop. And... I was at this, I think some of the people saw me.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Mick, were you out of your mind at this stage?
I think I was, Joe. Like, I was in a bit of a shock at the particular time. And as well as that, I was actually, you know, bowling that your man didn't stop.
Okay.
You know, that's the first thing that you do, you know. But this fella had no intentions of doing so. But I had a phone in the car. I was only after getting from my daughter, and I wasn't familiar with it. It was adapted to Bluetooth and all in the car, but I couldn't get it to operate properly for me. And with trying to tell your man and the whole lot, but eventually I was down near Glen of the Downs before I was able to dial 999.
Right,
and I got through to the wherever the office is, and. I explained the situation, and I had the number of the truck. I got the number of the truck at that particular time. And they advised me, look, turn around and go back.
Yeah, just in case,
because you're in a bit of a state now, and there could be another accident on the road.
That was great advice.
Yeah, so I did so, and I just had to pull in and I was absolutely shaken at the time, you know. And so I came back. And your man went sailing into the sunset, you know.
Yeah. And by the way, was there horses in it?
I haven't a clue. Now, I myself personally, I think it was a left-hand drive truck because he had a passenger in it on the right-hand side. And the passenger seemed to be kind of young or something. I don't know. But I drove.
But you say,
myself.
But Mick, hang on, and I don't want. First of all, it's a horse box van. It's not a big truck.
No, it's a horse box truck, a lorry.
Oh, big lorry. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. And do you know what make it was?
It was. It was a man. It's called a man.
MAN. Yeah, they're great.
And,
great brand.
And I have the registration. And
oh, don't give that out.
No. I was looking for if anybody had witnessed this.
And how much damage to your car?
Well, I got it assessed. I got the thing assessed, and it was you wouldn't have much change out of €1,000.
Wow!
Thing.
Wow!
So that's the story in that line. So and there was other things I found out about the truck, but I can't mention them on the radio, I suppose.
And but the Gardaí will be able to try. Was it an Irish reg?
It was, yeah. It was an Irish reg.
Yeah.
And there was a brown horse box. Okay. Man,
and
truck.
Was it a relatively new truck?
Well, it's not, no. It's a few years old.
A few years old, okay.
Yeah, it's about 18 years of age.
Okay.
According to the number, anyway, you know.
Okay, well then, so, I hope, not being funny, but I hope they pony up the money. But he should have stopped. No, he should have stopped.
He should have stopped, yeah.
Did he know he hit you?
He did, of course he did. Because that's a point I just want to make. I've driven trucks myself, and funny thing, the same thing happened to me when I was driving a truck up at Ratcliffe years and years ago.
Mm.
Before, down in the dip before you get to the Potchine Still, there was a slip road there for Newcastle.
Right.
I was driving an Arctic, and I had a load of steel on it. And I was ahead, right in the centre median, there was a slip road for Newcastle. I don't know whether you remember it or not.
Mm.
I was ready to go. I got a break in the traffic coming from south from this direction. And when you have to go up with the long trailer, 40-foot trailer, to avoid the curb, you know.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I found a lad in front of me. He didn't get into the queue at the back on the slip road. He decided to drive up the fast lane and nip across in front of me. But I clipped the car, but slightly clipped him, but I felt that. So, you know, you could feel that you're after making contact with something, you know.
Yeah. But, the reason I said to you, did he know that he hit you? Because
he did, he must have.
Well, yeah. I remember, now 6 or 7 years ago, the most remarkable call we got. It was the Nace Road as well, but it was very bad weather and it was a winter's evening, seven o'clock.
Yeah.
And a young woman in an Opel Corsa, which is a very popular, very good car.
It was,
She got caught under the front of a truck.
Oh.
And the truck kept going and didn't see her. He did not realise, no fault of his, no fault of hers, but he did not realise that she was, that there was a car underneath the front of his truck.
Under the front of the truck?
Yes.
Jesus, I find that hard to believe, to be honest with you.
But you know the size of some of these massive trucks.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's a true story. By the way, Opel, in fairness, at that time, were very good to that one. They didn't have to be, but they were very good. I give them another mention there because they were so good. Okay, Mick McGarr, I hope the Gardaí...
do I, Joe, because I tell you, it was a very new car, you know, new to us.
Okay,
we only have it about 4 or 5 months.
Ah, forgot.
You know, and it's a very good nick. The car is a 16, and it's pristine condition, you know.
But were you giving out to yourself afterwards that you chased them?
Was it? I was giving out to myself that I couldn't, that I didn't catch him.
Yeah.
No, but maybe, things could have been turned out a lot worse if I had caught him, you know. You wouldn't know what would have happened, But at least, I wouldn't have minded if he had stopped, but it's the fact that he didn't stop. That's what really annoyed me,
And that he did a runner.
He did a runner, I mean.
Okay.
But I know now, I found out something that one of the reasons why he did a runner, you know. So
okay.
I'm not mentioning that.
You're on the case, Mick. You're on the case.
Colombo.
Well done. Well, odds are you're gonna catch him. Thanks indeed, Mick McGarr.
Okay, Joe. Right.
Thanks, Mick.
Thank
you very
much.
Bye-bye.
On 1850-715-815. Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And Joe at RT.ie. Tim Buckley. Good afternoon.
How are you, Joe? Thanks for having me on.
And thanks for contacting us, Tim, because all we're hearing in the last 24 hours is people are smiling again, are happy again, there's good times ahead and safer times ahead. But you contacted us about Zoom meetings in the whole COVID, but you explained to us, I have a birth defect in my jaw muscles. And what does that mean? What can you not do?
I can't smile without an awful lot of pain, Joe.
Wow. And do people understand that, Tim?
Actually, no, because it's invisible. I mean, it was a birth defect, so I did not have... I was brought around when I was a child to various hospitals, which was traumatic in itself. They didn't realise it was a bone defect at the time. They actually thought it was psychological. because it was obvious at the time. It settled down when I was 7, like-ish, what I remember. And but I don't have any feeling there now because I lost the feeling around when I was 7. To cut a long story short, there was a partial correction of it by the dentist when I was 22, which is now 33 years ago, to put the bone back in its proper position. Mm-hmm. My upper jaw doesn't sit properly where it's supposed to sit, and I have a metal plate in my mouth and so on. Mm-hmm. But between all the toing and froing, smiling is now very painful.
Wow.
And it was prompted. I wrote a letter, which is why your researcher contacted
me. I saw it
me.
In the Examiner, yeah.
Yeah. About people feeling under pressure now because they're online on Zoom and Skype and so on. And they feel they're worried about how they look. They're lashing out money to dentists and so on. So, suppose, you know, quote unquote, get their smile fixed. And as I said in the letter, shouldn't we be focusing on listening and making sure our online meetings are successful?
Well, Tim, the fact that you can't smile and smiling is painful.
Yeah.
Do you think you say, for example, in job interviews, do you explain to them beforehand, listen, I don't smile, and it's not no reflection on the conversation?
Well, because I feel, Joe, if I do that, I'd be apologising for myself.
Okay.
We shouldn't be, it's an old cliche, But we shouldn't be judging the book by the cover.
That's right.
And that's what happens now, especially since we've all gone online, and especially at job interviews.
That's a very good... inside you're smiling, but you can't actually... you can't manifest it on your... But say you hear a joke or...
Oh, yeah.
When you laugh, does that hurt?
Less so, because smiling is, you know, it's concentrated, kind of... In the cheeks, which is where I have the issue.
But my
point is that people shouldn't be focusing on that.
Okay,
we should be
point.
Making sure meetings are successful by listening to each other. We really need to listen more and harder to each other these days, Joe. I'm working on this.
And it's more about substance than style.
More about substance than style, yes.
Yeah, well said. And has any... Do you think people know, Tim, that you're... That if you do smile, you'd be in pain?
No. I mean, as I say, I look perfect, well, as far as the word goes, normal, for the want of a better word. And as you hear, I can talk normally. I'm a teacher by profession. I'm not teaching at the moment. But, and, you know, that's all normal and so on. But, and I've got a bit of abuse over the years. Because people say to you, cheer up, it might never happen in all the rest
of
that.
Yeah, I know, I take that point, but I think your overall point is right. It's all about substance, not style. Okay, thanks indeed, Tim. That's Tim, I'm over time, unfortunately. This week, Niamh Dunn, as always, on research, and another great job this week, Niamh, thanks. Niamh Dunn, Damien Chanel's on sound, Annette Egan produced, Rebecca Meehan is a series producer. And remember, the Dawn Chorus is this weekend, isn't it? Saturday night into Sunday morning with Derek and the crew. It'll be absolutely fantastic. The Dawn Chorus, RT Radio 1.